Hello everyone, my name is Anna D'Souza and welcome to today's edition of NZX's Opening Bell podcast. At NZX, we are always looking at ways to support the wider community, and that's why I'm so pleased to be joined by today's guests, Rachel Friend, CEO of Little Miracles Trust, and Sam Bennett, the fundraising manager.
Oh, thank you for having us and making us very welcome.
Thank you.
Well, to be honest, I cannot think of a more deserving charity that deserves a spotlight on the work that you guys do. But I don't think that many people will actually know a lot about Little Miracles Trust. So maybe we could kick off, Rachel, Sam, just telling us a bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, sure. So we're a not-for-profit that has been around for over 30 years now. So originally started by a couple of Wellington families who'd had their preterm babies in the Wellington unit. And while the clinical care was world class, what they felt was missing was that wraparound lived experience care. So that was our origins, if you like. And many years later, we are now here and throughout Aotearoa. So we have team members who are based in the six tertiary units. So Auckland, Middlemore, Hamilton, Wellington, Christchurch and Dunedin. And they are an extension of the team at Te Whatu Ora and part of that social care. So we're really there to walk with the families of premature and unwell babies throughout Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And this is a bit of a passion project for yourself, Rachel.
Absolutely. So personally, I was supported by then. It was at that time was the Neonatal Trust. So my boy was born 10 years ago here in Auckland, newborn intensive care unit. He was 24 weeks gestation and 665 grams. So I was very well supported by the trust at the time. And a few years later, I mean, I volunteered for the trust once we had been discharged and stayed in touch with the team. And something like that is quite life-changing, as I'm sure you can imagine, and changes your perspective and your priorities. So for me at that point, then going back into the corporate life was quite difficult. And so I decided to exit stage left. And luckily, one of the team was moving on up in Auckland Niku. So they said, oh, would I like to do a couple of days a week there? So I started part-time, which was a great blend with family life. And that just grew over the years. So that was 7 years ago now. And so I then took over leading the Auckland team. And 4 years ago, almost became the CEO of the trust. So looking after the whole of the country. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's amazing to turn such a stressful, traumatic time into something that's just so powerful.
And, oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. So that ability to kind of turn that trauma into actually doing good. Is something I guess if somebody had said that that's what I would have been doing, you know, while I was pregnant or pre-baby, that I'd have thought they were probably a little bit crazy. But yeah, I absolutely love it, and it is a passion, and it is very cup filling and very rewarding to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned, you know, when your son was born, that he was only bigger than a stick of butter.
Yeah.
And, you know, to put that into perspective is just so tiny.
Yeah, super tiny. And because he was so early, his skin was paper thin, so I couldn't actually pick him up for fear of tearing his skin. So we had to wait 10 days before we could hold him so we could see him through the incubator. We could put our hands into the incubator, but we couldn't actually do anything with him. So when you think of that rosy-tinted view of pregnancy and birth and baby being put to the chest, you know, post-birth, you know, we had none of that. So, and obviously it was surrounded by wires and tubes and bells and whistles and all sorts of things going on. So, yeah.
So how do the hospitals, you know, deal with the babies when they're that small and, you know, if you can't actually touch them?
They're in an incubator or an isolate, so they are, you know, world-class technology. It's keeps them warm because they don't have any fat on their bodies, so they can't actually regulate their own temperature, so that's a big part for them. And they're in there in these wee little nappies so that the team can see, you know, everything that's going on with them in terms of their colour and their breathing. And, you know, there's all sorts of monitors for blood pressure and heart rate, and they'll have all different manner of antibiotics and feed and drips going into them. So yeah, I mean, and on these tiny little things they do these operations, it's quite mind-blowing.
So But let's talk numbers for a minute. So in New Zealand, you know, how many premature babies are born each year? Like, what does that kind of look like?
So we have about 5,000 premature babies born every year in New Zealand. And that ranges, you know, right across the country. And we've got 6 neonatal units that care for those babies and 17 special care baby units, which are the level 2 units. So some babies will start off in a neonatal unit if they're born very early, and then maybe transferred to a special care baby unit later on in their journey before going home.
I think you mentioned earlier as well that, you know, 5,000 babies, sort of 10% roughly, was it?
And yeah, 10% of babies born in New Zealand, and it's actually one every 90 minutes.
90 minutes, it's so frequent.
So in the time we've been here, there's a somebody somewhere, a family somewhere will have been impacted by this.
And I guess that's the support your guys are really helping with. And what does that kind of wraparound support that you're providing sort of look like?
So we have team members based in the tertiary unit. So there's 6 main centres, and Monday to Friday they'll be in unit, and they will be visiting every family. So we'll see families as they have been admitted with their baby. We'll introduce ourselves initially and then kind of leave them to it, because it's quite overwhelming those first few days as a family. There's a lot of information to take in. And then we will go back and see if there's anything they require, talk to them a bit about, you know, what we do, why we're there. And then we will just, throughout their time there, we'll just generally each day or each week spend time with them, see how things are going with baby, if there's anything they need to talk about, because often there's stuff that you want to talk about with somebody who's slightly removed from the situation but understands it at the same time. So it may not be that you want to talk to somebody clinical or even your partner. It may be that, you know, just having that person who's slightly removed but has an understanding, gets the jargon, what could potentially be happening with baby, is just that ability to offload. Additionally, we have a lot of resources available for families that we like to have on hand in the unit, so that they don't have to go off searching and heading off to malls and things like that. So things like breast pumps, clothes for baby once they're in clothes, all sorts of things for mums to help with their breastfeeding journey, lots of different things. So we run what are called family integrated care sessions. So this is a way of working, if you like, throughout the world. And it's about bringing that family more into that baby's care team. And, you know, because they are their biggest advocate, they know their baby the best. They're the one that sees them every day, all day long, where there can be changes in the clinical team. So it's about empowering them to be part of that care team, and equally about them getting to know that community that's in there, because you really do need that support. So it's great to be able to introduce them to other families who are on the unit at the same time as them as well. So that happens throughout the week. So we have quite busy weeks.
Yeah.
And then even post-discharge, we have 7 community play groups across the country. So they're facilitated by occupational therapists and physiotherapists, and it's an opportunity for parents, and once baby has been discharged, to go somewhere safe. And when I say safe, I mean in a couple of different senses. One, safe in terms of, you know, other people will understand what you've been through, so mentally safe, but also physically safe, because you do still have a medically fragile child, and so you don't want to be just taking them to Wriggle and Rhyme at the library. You want to take them somewhere where, you know, everything has been sterilized, that the people who are turning up aren't going to turn up unless they're 100% well. And then the addition of that occupational therapist means you have got a professional there that you can ask advice of, and if they are seeing anything that isn't quite right or might need some slight adjustments, they can either teach the parents what to do or help refer them back into Te Whatu Ora, maybe for some follow-up care as well. So it gives them that kind of a little bit of a safety net post-discharge, yeah.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like it's really personalised, but also quite a wide-ranging services that they can really access from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we give out care packs, so every family will get, you know, I hate to call it a welcome pack, because nobody wants to be welcome to a NICU. But and it's all practical but thoughtful things. So like a chiller bag for mum, because she's going to start expressing breast milk, breast pads, scent hearts. So this is a pair of flannelette hearts, one that a parent will wear and one that baby will wear, and then they swap them over so that they can smell each other when they're not with each other. And it's shown to reduce anxiety, help with milk production, and it helps baby in terms of heart rate and breathing, and so has some really amazing benefits from something so small. And lots of little items in there. And then for days of note, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas Day, we always put big packs together for each. So that's 450 gifts that we give out on each of those days. So they're pretty big days for us,
And we get some generous sponsorship usually for those packs. So we have a great range of companies that will donate items that we're really appreciative of.
I guess all that, all those services and all that you're providing, you know, it is expensive and... Mm. I guess, how are you guys funding all this at the moment? You know, where is that kind of coming from?
Yeah, so we don't receive any government funding. So we rely on donations from our generous supporters, sponsorship from a few amazing companies, and fundraisers. The grants situation is a bit dire at the moment. So we do try and apply for a lot of grants. But lately, with the situation, we're just finding that we're either getting knocked back or we're getting a partial funding where in the past we would have got the whole amount. So, yeah, having to work harder than ever to get the funding in from that stream. So, yeah, that's where fundraisers and events like this really help.
Massive things. And one thing, one area we're now starting to move into is actually looking for corporate partnerships. So people who would, you know, take on our cause for a few years and help to fund really those frontline piece of work that we do. We get some great sponsorship. So there's quite a line between corporate partnership and corporate sponsorship. So we're looking to move more towards that way so that we have got that ongoing revenue stream that we can depend upon. Because we just don't have that.
Well, honestly, I can't think of a better charity to be supporting.
So we agree.
If you're listening, please hop online. You know,
absolutely.
Reach out for a corporate partnership, a sponsorship.
100%.
They would definitely love a call from you guys. And if you say it's from NZX, even better.
Yes, exactly.
And even if individuals are wanting to support us, we have a regular giving program, so people can hop on our website and take a look there.
So yeah, we're always looking for ways to innovate and do things differently. So yeah, do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from anybody who's keen to support us, because who doesn't want to support these tiny babies?
Exactly.
Because they're, you know, the next generation of New Zealanders. So it's about supporting our future generations to have the best outcomes they can really have. Yeah,
absolutely. And just to kind of switch track a little bit, so the name, Little Miracles Trust, I mean, one, I love it. I think it is really appropriate for what, you know, the work you are doing. But, you know, I don't think you've always been known by that.
Tell us a bit more about that. So originally there were seven different trusts.
Oh, wow.
So they all had different names. So there was Parent Care, there was Neonatal Trust. So they all started to amalgamate over the years and were then known as the Neonatal Trust with the regional title afterwards. And we really found, and this was pre 2020, that our awareness was quite limited. And so we went out and had some insights work done for us to really find out, one, who knew about us, and if you did know about us, what did you know about us, and what, you know, what we offered, what could we keep doing, did the name resonate, did our imagery resonate. So it was quite a big piece of work, and we felt that we knew the answers, but we wanted to obviously validate that rather than just go, oh, we know what we're doing. So the report really came back and showed us that people who knew us were understandably families who had been through a journey, or clinical staff, and that was it. So in terms of New Zealand population, we weren't really known about. And so that meant we had quite a limited pool of support, really. Those who knew about us were very clear on what we did, so our messaging was clearly correct. And when it came to the name, it was generally felt by people who did or didn't know us that it was quite clinical. And that then again led to a further misunderstanding of what we did. So there was that sense that we were part of what was then DHBs, now Te Whatu Ora, and that we were government funded because we were DHB based, and that we were within the units and we were something to do with that side of things, not actually that we were or what we are, ex whānau of premature and unwell babies, and what we actually did. So there was that sense of we really needed to create that delineation of the fact that we are a not-for-profit, we receive zero funding. And we also really needed to resonate with a wider pool of supporters. So some, you know, naming categories were put up, and very much the miracle piece sounded out. And, you know, and then there were lots of different nuances around, you know, little and tiny. And it's like, well, not everybody's, every baby's tiny, but every baby is little. You know, whether they're full term, they're still a little baby. So, you know, we kind of went through that process, and actually our imagery that we had was really on point. And with the previous name, that imagery had to work really hard. But when you put that imagery with the new name, it was like people just got it straight away. And that's the sense that we've really now got, particularly from that wider part of New Zealand, and particularly, you know, things like media outlets, you know, where we had been in touch before to try and tell our story, all of a sudden it was being picked up, and we got so much support in that space when we launched, and ongoing through, you know, NZME, Media Works, you know, all of those kind of areas. And and now when we say to people, where do you work, they're like, oh yeah, I've heard of you guys, whereas before it was like, oh no, don't really know you, and so what is it that you do? So you had to kind of explain what neonatal meant. Yeah. And yeah, so it's been a real, real success for us. Yeah, so
really
we're
good response just names.
Coming up to a year now. Just coming up to a year, 1 July was,
literally a year on.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it was an exciting journey to go through, and was definitely the right move for us, yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely sounds so rewarding, and I'm sure you've experienced and seen so many moving and powerful stories. I don't know if there's any in particular that you can share, or
every journey is different. I spend a lot of time, particularly up at the Auckland Newborn Intensive Care Unit, and it's just such an honour to be part of these families and get to know them and become part of their wider whānau. So, you know, we they're all amazing. And what's the best bit is when they come back to see us. Mm-hmm. So those who are born quite early will go on a regular program of, you know, at least annual checkups with developmental specialists to see how babies are tracking, because obviously that all feeds into data of how these babies go on throughout life. So we'll generally get to see them up to about the age of 5. So actually yesterday I had one boy, little Hudson, who's now 4. He was coming in for his final check, so I got to have a picture with him. So he started off life, you know, he was, I think it was about 26 weeks. So yeah, it's really amazing just to see them grow and to be able to say to them, you know, I knew you, you know, when you were a baby, and they kind of like look at you and think, what? How did you know me? You know, mummy said I was in the hospital, and just to see them, you know, really flourish, and obviously those parents as well, and my boy as well. So he's 10 now, and he's actually in class with his NICU roommate.
Oh, wow.
So they were both 24-weekers and now both at school together and are the best of friends. So, yeah, it's a lifelong thing for us.
Perfect. And I guess the team itself. So obviously, you know, you are covering the whole of New Zealand, I think. And, you know, what does that mean in terms of your team and their experience? You know, have they all had NICU babies as well? Or
the majority have, particularly the frontline teams. Yes, it is something that we feel is part of what we are, is that we offer that lived experience. So that's quite important for us, that our team members do have that understanding, because it just gives you that ability to connect, I think. And so, yes, and all different. So not all prem babies, some are full term, some with, you know, medical conditions, some with lifelong things that, you know, they'll navigate life with. So yeah, just a real mix of the team, which is great. Yeah,
it really provides that diverse experience. And
absolutely,
I guess you can all kind of relate on different levels, but you know.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And we're, you know, we're a great team. We're a super close bunch as well. So, yeah.
Even though we're spread across the country, weekly Zoom meetings and.
Yeah, I mean, some of these events that you kind of talking about to kind of bring that community together, you know, it is powerful. You know, I'm a mum myself, but I didn't fortunately have to kind of go through NICU, but those initial days are just so chaotic. And so I think having, you know, people like yourselves available to kind of support in your time of need is just, you know, what those mums would need for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are other ways that we do it. So a lot of it is emotional, but for some families, it is about that practical logistical piece as well. So we do have a hardship fund where we work with the social workers within the units, where they will have families who may be struggling to put petrol in their car or can't drive, don't have a car and need to be able to get to the hospital, because obviously the more time they're with baby, the better, and the quicker they'll potentially get baby home. So we can supply Uber vouchers, hop cards up here in Auckland, taxi vouchers, food. They may even be struggling. You know, cost of food has gone up for all of us and some of these families, and increasingly more and more families are struggling to put food on the table. So again, we have freezers within the units with frozen meals that they can access, and whether that's for them to eat in the unit or if it's for them to take home to their other children, that's fine by us, because it's about, you know, keeping that whole whānau safe. Yeah, so we do have access to that as well, and supermarket vouchers and all those sorts of things. So it's that is taking a lot more demand than ever. So it used to be quite a steady amount, but we're seeing quite an upturn, and certainly probably from people that probably never would have thought they would need to access those sorts of services.
Well, I guess a lot of time their babies are being born at 26 or 23, whatever week.
It's a long time to be.
Yeah, and you're not expecting it. And there is all these additional costs when you are having to go back and forth. You know, it's
And there's a number of families who'll be what we call displaced. So there's only a set number of beds in each hospital. And if your local, you know, if you're having a preterm baby and you need to be in an intensive care unit, or if you're having sort of post 32 weeks and there's a regional hospital, it may be full. So you could be living in Auckland and end up in Dunedin.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
With your baby. And so you're away from all your support networks and your family. And so we'll step in to kind of provide that reach around and, you know, just check in on you and make sure you've got what you need, or even know where local things are if you need to go and get stuff. So, yeah, there's lots of little ways.
Yeah, lots of things that I have definitely had thought about.
Yeah, and it's quite common to be displaced. Yeah, it's quite a common thing. Yeah.
Okay, wow. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. You know, thank you so much for joining us, Rachel and Sam. You know, it's opened my eyes. You know, I am a mum, like I said, but I hadn't thought about all these kind of bits and pieces that you guys are really providing. So, you know, I think we would all agree that this work is incredibly important, you know, for all these families, but also for the future of NZ, really. You know, NZX, we want to support. So please jump online and donate. So know that they would definitely appreciate your support.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you for having us in today.
Thank you.
The information provided in this podcast is a guide and is intended for general information purposes only. The information is not investment advice. The information should not be relied upon as a substitute for detailed advice from a professional advisor. The podcast may contain opinions or forward-looking statements, and actual results may vary from what is expressed in this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the presenter or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of NZX. NZX Limited is not liable for any loss suffered through relying on the information in this podcast. NZX makes no warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the information in this podcast. All intellectual property rights in the content of this podcast are owned or used under license by NZX, and NZX's written consent is required to use, redistribute, or reproduce the content, or use it to create other works.